right, so during Lent, we're in a sermon series entitled, Who's Your One? And our focus has been about the importance of the number one. How important is one? Well, it depends. Is one flat tire better than two? Yes, it is. One's important. And other things. I have other things, but we won't spend time there. The first week, we talked about how valuable is one person. Well, in our world, if we're not careful, we value people based on what they can do for us or what they can produce for us. You know, I've used the illustration, if you ask how important is the president of Ukraine, he's important. I mean, that cat, wow. Wow. And if you were to say, which one's more valuable, him or me, I hope you have the courage to be honest and go him. But one person, the Bible says, when one person comes to faith in Jesus Christ, all of heaven celebrates. All of heaven celebrates. Can you imagine? And heaven's a big place. And there's a lot of people there. And there's angels there. And they celebrate too. How important is one person? Well, Jesus died for you. You. So one person is of paramount importance. Excuse me. I don't even do this till I get up here. You guys. Make me do this. Okay, hold on. We'll give it a second there. Technology. There we go. Thank you, guys. And then last week, we talked about what is our mission. There's a difference between being a believer in Jesus Christ and being a disciple of Jesus Christ. A disciple is one who wants to know him and make him known. A disciple wants to walk as close with Jesus as possible. And if you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, you are on mission to know the Lord with everything you can and to make him known in every way you can. That's the simplest way I know how to put that. And so we talked about that's our mission, is to know him and to make him known. Well, this week is a special day in the life of our church. Today, we're going to talk about Christian leadership. Now, leadership's important, isn't it? Now, I'm not trying to get political, but leadership's important, right? Whether it's on a global stage, whether it's on a national stage, whether it's on a citywide stage, whether it's in one house. Leadership is important. And today, we're going to talk about leadership specifically as it applies to the church. You know, the question might be to you is, you know, how does one get to be a leader in the church? Well, you give a lot of money. That's not true. Well, let me say it shouldn't be true. I'm not going to say it's not true in every church, but I'll say it shouldn't be true. Maybe you're the oldest in the congregation. Well, that's not necessarily true. I'm not going to say it's not true, but what are the qualifications to be set aside or to be held up as a leader in the local church? Well, the great thing is the Bible tells us what it should look like. And our measuring stick as disciples is always the Bible. So we're going to look at that today. Excuse me. We're going to look at stories from the early church, okay? Because the church is the church. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. If God did not ordain the church to exist and empower the church to withstand time and human beings, it's the worst business model ever. Because you take, you know, imperfect people and you raise them up and you give them power and authority and responsibility, and we all come together with all of our brokenness and all of our, you know, just us. Can you imagine trying to decide where we're all going to lunch? If that was our sole task today, can you imagine what it would take to get 100% of us to go, yes, we'll go there? Anyway. Okay. No. So, we're going to pick up post-Calvary. So, we're going to pick up at a time in the church history when Jesus has already given his life an atonement for sin for you and for me. He's already visited the Airbnb that was the grave. He didn't own it because he wasn't staying. He not only was resurrected on the third day, but then ascended into heaven. And that's where we pick up. We're going to look at the affirmation of Pentecost. Now, you may not be familiar with what Pentecost is or what happened at Pentecost. You may only know Pentecost in that you see church signs that say Pentecostal. You don't necessarily know what that means. Well, let me give you a little bit something extra. When you hear the word Pentecost and the event of Pentecost, I want you to always look at this window to my left. This window is artistically designed for Pentecost. And so you have it represented here. So let's look. What is Pentecost? At Pentecost, the disciples witnessed the birth of the New Testament church and the coming of the Holy Spirit to indwell all believers. The disciples and the apostles were in the upper room, the same upper room they took communion with the Lord, and they were praying, and we'll say this, they were praying, they were fearful, they were uncertain about the future. You know, they're just trying to figure things out. And so they're in the upper room, and they're praying, and God the Holy Spirit was delivered to them. That means God took residence in them. You remember last week, we talked about what is the church. The church isn't this beautiful edifice that we get to sit in. The church is you. Because when you receive Jesus Christ, the God of heaven and earth, the creator and the sustainer, the Holy Spirit comes and takes residence, permanent residence, in you. You are the church. This is where the church gathers. So they were gathered together, they were seeking the Lord, they were praying, and God delivered to them the Holy Spirit. Thus, the scene of the disciples in the room at Pentecost links the commencement of the Holy Spirit's work in the church with the conclusion of Christ's earthly ministry in the upper room. Jesus' earthly ministry came to a close when he ministered to them in the upper room and instituted the Lord's Supper. And now God's Holy Spirit has initiated the birth of the New Testament church through the delivery of his Holy Spirit. So we have that, and now we have the proclamation of Pentecost. When you get good news, do you sit on it? Not usually. Some of y'all just blow up social media. Yeah, see, I can't follow some of you guys on three or four platforms because, man, a little bit goes a long way, right? But in our world today, if you get good news, you tend to share that good news. But I will say this, if you have a bad experience, you tell twice as many people. That's the truth, isn't it? Yeah, come on now, you let Cotton Patch bring that steak out and it's not cooked. You're telling everybody. Proclamation of Pentecost. So God the Holy Spirit arrives, takes residence in the church, and bam, God's ambassador to a lost world is birthed in the church. And this is what took place out of that event. Then Peter continued preaching. Let's say that together, shall we? For a long time. Let's say that one more time. For a long time. It's biblical. Peter preached for a long time, strongly urging all the listeners, save yourselves from this crooked generation. History repeats itself. Those who believe what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000. Now, can I ask you this question? Would 3,000 additional people make this building look a little different next Sunday? Can you imagine? We couldn't even put hooks on the ceiling to hang everybody up in here. We'd have to be calling local churches. We'd call down to River Oaks, hey, can you take a couple hundred of these people? And we'd call out to St. Paul's, hey, can you take a couple hundred of these people? We love them, but, we ain't got no room. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing meals and prayer. The Holy Spirit arrives, the church is birthed, and Peter's response is that, I'm going to go preach, and I'm going to preach a long time. And in his proclamation of the gospel, we see some 3,000 people on that day go, we want Jesus, and we want to follow him. Now, I'm going to tell you, any preacher worth anything would give anything to have that kind of a Sunday. Now, I've preached over 1,000, you know, we've preached over 1,000, haven't we, Jeff? Maybe they all got saved out there in the radio. That's what I'm going to believe. But you can see that the church, they were all in the upper room, the disciples and the apostles, and they're praying, and now the church has been birthed, and guess what? Now we're adding about 3,000. That's a big group of people. Now we got to make preparation. Why? Well, because you got to minister to them. You got to lead them. You got to feed them. You got to protect them. So let's look. So the 12 called a meeting of all the believers, and they said, we, the apostles, should spend our time teaching the word of God, not running a food program. So all these people need ministering to, and part of that ministry is feeding them. And part of the challenge of that is getting the provisions, preparing the provisions, serving the provisions, and then cleaning up afterwards. It's a lot of work. Is it important work? It absolutely is important work. But you have the apostles who are now the leaders of this thing called the church, and they're trying to study, and they're trying to understand, and they're trying to communicate. And, you know, they say multitasking is a skill, but for me, if I do a lot of multitasking, I mean, I do a lot of things at a low level. You know, it's like Charles Emerson Winchester, you know, do one thing, do it well, and then move on. And if you don't know what that is, you can Google it. But, and they went on, they said, so brothers, select 7 men who are well-respected and are full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will give them this responsibility. Then the apostles came to spend, then we the apostles can spend our time in prayer and in teaching. They're not saying one responsibility is more important than another. They're just saying we can't all do everything. We need to share the wealth. We need to share the responsibility. Let me say this. When a leader shares the responsibility, it's not a subtraction, it's a multiplication. Let's do that. I know math is my weakness, but let me do that for you one more time. As your pastor, when I hand a ministry over to someone, it is not a subtraction from my work, it's a multiplication. Because now I have the time and the energy to invest in something else or someone else. It's a multiplication factor. You would be sorely disappointed if Jimmy was responsible for everything. Amen. Thank you for being at my last sermon. But you really would. The countless things that go on in and through the ministries of Authentic Life that have nothing to do with me as far as my hands, my feet, are countless. And it's a beautiful testimony. The real role of a pastor is to work himself out of a job. To lead and to feed in such a way that the church rises up and they go, well, you know, it really is. It's an oxymoron. Like I said, it's God ordained. But the apostles were trying to do their work. There was serious, important work. They said, let's raise up 7 guys who can share the wealth, who can share the work. And let me also say this. When you, as a leader, share your ministry with someone else, it's a blessing to them because you will never experience the fullness of the Christian life until you serve in the Lord's name. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I love to serve people, but I oftentimes feel guilty because I feel like I get more than I ever give. And when you hand someone an opportunity, you're blessing them. You're giving them an opportunity to know that experience. So today is a special day. Today we're installing an elder and 2 new deacons in the leadership team of our church. And I love these days because it's an important day. It's a day of celebration. It takes me back. I mentioned in Sunday school, my bride and I last September celebrated our 35th year of ministry. Now, we started when we were 2, you know. But, you know, we've been serving the Lord together for 35 years. And we wouldn't take a thing for it. And I said that when I got saved in January, I surrendered to the ministry in April, and I was in our first church the first Sunday in September. That's not necessarily the right way to do it, but that's the way we did it. And I was licensed by my home church in absentia. I wasn't even there. They had a meeting, and they go, hey, we're going to license Jimmy Vaughn. And I'm sure half the crowd goes, who? And a quarter of the other half goes, are you sure? I just drove by and picked up a piece of paper. Hey, okay. And then Brother Ken Johannan ordained me, and what a wonderful thing. I was going to show that picture today, but I didn't want to shoot your wheels off. But as a pastor, it's a wonderful day because God is raising up leaders to expand the ministry of the church and to take it to new places and new heights and to accomplish new things. It's a beautiful thing. And so today we're going to look at what are the qualifications, the biblical qualifications to be appointed a leader like we're doing today. 1 Timothy tells us this, deacons must be dignified, not two-faced, not given to excessive drinking, not greedy for gain, holding to the mystery of faith with a clear conscience. And these also must be tested first, and then let them serve as deacons if they are found blameless. Now, that's not sinless. You know why? Because ain't one of you sinless. Okay? Likewise, their wives must be dignified, not salacious, temperate, faithful in every respect. Now, it's important because we are a family unit. Ministry begins in the home. The Bible says, how can a man manage the church well if he can't manage his own home? And far too often, we can elevate a leader who maybe isn't the leader in his home as he should be, or maybe doesn't have the support from his bride. And let me just say this. I wouldn't be a third of the man that I am today without my bride. My bride has never said no to all the crazy things that God has called me to, and to all the ports of call around the world. My bride has been there. She's been there with our kids. She's been there with my grandchild. And never, ever. It's not about me. But the spouse, the bride, is so vitally important. Let me also say this. Sometimes a church will make a mistake. They'll go, oh, well, we're getting two for the price of one. No, that's not the way this works. When you call a pastor, you're calling him. Now, his bride comes with him, and his bride should be a good member of the church, a leader, but you don't get two for the price of one. I've known pastors who come in, and man, they just wear that bride out, and the expectations are ridiculous because my bride's ministry, first and foremost, is to me, and then to our home, and then to our church. And I'll say this unashamedly, I think she does a great job, but I am prejudiced. Deacons must be husbands of one wife, good managers of their children and their own households, for those who have served well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and great boldness in the faith that is Christ Jesus. So we're going to look real quick because, you know, I'm not going to preach long today, but I might make it up on you next Sunday. So let's look at just some bullet points for our deacons. Deacons love people. The Greek word, deaconos, literally means servant. Deacons are called to serve the church and to take care of their ministry needs. Deacons minister to the physical and spiritual needs of the church. People and our place. One of the great responsibilities of our deacons is to care for the house that is the church, churches today. That is a primary responsibility. Secondly, deacons unify people. By taking care of needs in the church, deacons serve to preserve harmony in the church. Jeff loves that word, don't you? Harmony. In the church, allowing the members to be more focused on the Great Commission. Let me teach you something today. and this will be great for you in the church, and this will be great for you outside. I learned this years ago, and I'll give credit if I can remember who taught it to me. Every single one of us carry two buckets. Say two buckets. Every single one of you carry two buckets. One is filled with gasoline. The second is filled with water. And when the frictions of life come, and guess what? They do. Outside the church, they do. Inside the church, they do. When you walk up on friction or a small fire, depending on which bucket you choose to utilize, will determine whether you burn the house down or you tamp the flame down. The Bible says that the gates of hell should not prevail against the church. Then why does the church on regular occasion burn itself to the ground? Wrong bucket. You got to focus on the main things. And not only do I, as your pastor, carry two buckets, not only do your elders carry two buckets, not only do the deacons carry two buckets, but every single one of you Hanyaks carry two buckets. And you get to choose which one you use. If you throw the gasoline on, we have a firefighter in the house, and he'll tell you things go bad. Blessed are the peacemakers. And I want to compliment you, because for years now, there has been peacemakers in our church, and I'm thankful for that. That's free. It doesn't cost you extra. Deacons reach people. Deacons aren't just focused on the internalness of the church, but also on the mission of the church. Deacons share the gospel in the church and outside the church building. Shares it through words and actions and attitudes and consistency with the people they encounter. Don't be like the deacon Ronnie worked with. He says, there's Sunday deacon and then there's Monday me. And they weren't the same guy, were they? And you know what happens is everyone at that place of employment, they go, oh, he's a deacon? Well, I'm not going to his church. And then guess what? I'm probably not going to go to church at all. True story. Deacons encourage people. Pastors and deacons work hand in hand to accomplish the work of the gospel. There is no job more important to the Lord, one over the other. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm a pilgrim on a journey who just happens to get the privilege to be called the pastor, the lead pastor, not the only, the lead pastor. But my responsibilities and expectations are the same as those who serve alongside of me. And our deacons and our elders are encouragements to me. And I want to be an encourager to them as well. Deacons are an example to people. Deacons likewise should be worthy of respect. The point here is that deacons are to have an upright character, which is an example to people in the church and outside the church. We talked about this in Sunday school. The difference between your reputation and your conduct when you're alone, the difference of that, that's called a hypocrite sandwich. Ladies and gentlemen, we should be the same people everywhere. As leaders of the church, I told you all those years ago, and I tell you again, I don't have another bag of tricks. This is it. What you see is what you get 24/7, and I'm okay with that. So they're examples to people. I want to say just a word about accountability. Accountability is biblical. Accountability is a blessing when it comes from a heart of love. And I want to say this to our leaders, and I want to say this to you, our church, is I welcome and want your accountability. Because I want you to follow me so long as I'm following him. And when I step off that pathway, I welcome you to call me back because you love me. And if there comes a day that I step off that pathway and continue, my friends, don't follow me. Don't follow me. You follow me only as long as I'm following him. And deacons, they'll follow you only as long as you're following him. And you guys, you could follow me. I'm going to do my best. But as iron sharpens iron, we'll win this together. Jefferson said, we'll hang together or we'll hang separately. We are all in this together. Deacons bring stability to the people. Consistency is important for the long-term health of the church. There is no substitute for consistent longevity. There's no substitute. You can't buy it. There's not a program to create it. Listen, long consistency builds relationships. It transforms lives. And the reason I know that is I'm looking right over here at these two brothers. And I've known you cats. How old were you? How old were you guys? About 11. Yeah. I started in ministry when I was 2. Don't forget that. But I remember Bubba was coming to church, and he was talking about, oh, yeah, Pastor Jimmy, he was my youth minister, blah, blah, blah. And his boys go, how old is he? That's a worthy question, right? But you know what? Tell me anything I could do that would equate having all these years in front of these men, which one is a law enforcement officer and the other is a firefighter. I mean, two great men sitting there. And that gets us to our deacons, our new deacons today. Bubba has accepted the invitation to serve, and Bubba is a state trooper. You can drop his name, but it probably won't do you any good. But it looks really cool when he comes by the campus on duty. He's already volunteered when he retires. He's going to be my personal security. It's going to be awesome. But he and his bride, Misty, have been with us for several years. I remember Misty called. They were looking for a church home, and she called up, and I answered the phone. And, you know, Misty's a little excitable, and, you know, and she launches right into it. And, you know, we're looking for a church home. And she asked me a question that set me back on my heels. She goes, so what kind of preacher are you? And I said to you, well, I've never been asked that. You know, a good chef doesn't evaluate his own cooking. I said, well, I said, if I were going to describe me, I'd say I'm an enthusiastic teacher. I think that would be it. You know, there's a lot of ways, you know. And it was enough to at least get a first visit, you know, and a stick and stay. So we're excited to have them and their family. And then our second is Brother Johnny and Viviana. Now, I first met Johnny. He was the Sultan of SWAT, the King of Swing in the commercial softball league that is Greenville, Texas. I mean, there's rumor that his bat was pure gold. But at that time, we had a team, and we played in that league, and you know, consistency. We want to be out there what we are here, and we had fun, and we did consistently beat them, in all humility. But as the story was related to me, when he and Viviana said, "You know what? We want to begin to explore church and a church home." That ALF was top of the list because of what they had witnessed on the softball field. Wow. And then Viviana was here for her baby shower before she even knew. Well, there you are. Yeah. She said that she felt something special when she walked on campus, not knowing that one day she'd call it home. So, and they're a wonderful family. He works for the city of Heath in the water department. So if he ever gets called away like he did Wednesday night, don't think he's just skipping. He's probably getting called to work. So we're really excited about that today, and we love you guys, and we're excited to have you, and we're going to pray over you guys in just a moment, you and your brides. And now we also are going to be appointing a new elder. Now this is the most anticlimactic event ever in our church. But, you know, you need to make it official, right? So 1 Timothy goes on, it says this, the overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, and able to teach. That's one of the distinctives between the role of a deacon and the role of an elder, is the ability to teach. And so that's one distinctive. Elders are to spend time in prayer and in teaching the word. The requirements for a deacon and elder are nearly identical. And, you know, we're to spend time in prayer, and Acts 6 tells us this, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word and all that that entails, which on any given day can be a very wide spectrum. They are to watch over the spiritual life of the flock and are accountable, let's say that word together, accountable for the protection, for the provision, and for the maturation of the church. Leadership is a blessing. Leadership is a privilege, but it comes with a responsibility. And as your pastor and as your elders, we'll be held to a higher accountability because of the privilege of being called that and serving in that capacity. Now, we take that responsibility very seriously. But God also gives you a challenge. Look at what God says in Hebrews. Obey your spiritual leaders. Obey your spiritual leaders. And what they say, their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. It's a partnership. It's a privileged partnership. And I say this for Jeff, and I say this for Josh as well. Only follow us as long as we're following him. And if we veer from the path, my friends, call us back. And if we keep going, don't follow us. Don't follow us. So you are fellow elders and a witness of Christ's suffering and one who shares in the glory that will be revealed. I urge you, the elders among you, give a shepherd's care to the flock. Exercise oversight, not merely as a duty, but willingly under God's direction. It's a responsibility, but it's a privileged responsibility. Not for shameful profit, but eagerly. I could just tell you this. I'm not in it for the profit. No, that's a joke. Anyway, and do not lord it over those entrusted to you, but be an example to the flock. Then, when the chief shepherd appears, who do we follow? We follow the Lord, the chief shepherd. You will receive a crown of glory that never fades. They pray for the sick. It's a privilege to pray. And we take that very seriously. And we want to reiterate to you, in times of need, call us. We would love to exercise this ministry. Elders are to help settle disagreements in the church. It happens. You remember the two buckets? If there's a disagreement amongst the family, let's come together. Let's reason this out. We'll bring our buckets of water and we'll help figure it out. It's biblical. While Paul and Barnabas were at Antioch of Syria, some men from Judah arrived, beginning to teach that Christians, unless you keep the ancient Jewish custom of circumcision taught by Moses, you cannot be saved. Paul and Barnabas disagreed with them. For by grace are you saved through faith, they'd say. Argued forcibly and at length. Forcibly and at length. Finally, Paul and Barnabas were sent to Jerusalem, accompanied by some local believers, to talk to the apostles and the elders about the question. And guess what? They resolved it. They got it worked out. So that's a good thing. So today, we're installing this guy that you might know, Mr. Josh Slinkard. Josh came and joined our ministry team part-time in 2012, and then we as a church ordained him to the gospel ministry in 15. And then he came on staff full-time in 2017. And I don't even, you know. He and Sarah have been faithful and their family. And like I said, this is as anticlimactic as it can be, but I love Josh. I love him as a friend. I love him as a co-laborer. And he's a blessing to me and he's a blessing to our church. And the truth is he's been serving in this capacity for some time. You know, we're just officially, you know. Let me back up and say this. He finally let us do it. I respect a man who goes, no, not yet. I respect that. So we're appointing Josh today as well. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to invite our deacons and their brides and our new deacons and their brides to come up to the platform. And we're going to rearrange here just a little bit. And the reason I do this is because we don't serve alone. We serve together. And you men have a responsibility to lead and to guide and to work alongside our new deacons and their wives. And their success begins with you, co-laborers. You have a responsibility to them. And you two cats have a responsibility to them. Follow them and learn and serve alongside of them. And ladies, that goes for you too. And so I'm going to ask you deacons, would you commit to loving and leading and sharing with our new deacons and their brides? Yes. Absolutely. Thank you. Now, I'm going to ask you, church, because you have a responsibility to pray for these men and their families. You have a responsibility for not being the person who always has a reason not to do it. They will lead, but they want to invite us into the ministry with them. And I'm going to ask you, church, will you pray for these men and their families? Will you serve alongside these men and their families? You can say amen. 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 And so we're going to pray over you. Jeff, why don't you come and you can pray over them. Amen. So if you guys will stay right there. Now I'm going to ask Josh and Sarah, I think they're upstairs, to come on down. So this is the easiest charge I've ever given. Don't, you're not in the middle, brother. No, the other way. Center up. Sarah, help him. So this is the simplest charge ever. Just keep doing what you're doing. That's as simple as it gets. We love you guys, and we're so thankful to have you. And Josh, I'm not going to try to make you cry, although I would enjoy it. But we love you, and we value you and your family, and this is the biggest no-brainer, you know, that we've ever done. So we just want to say thank you for that. So deacons, I would ask you and your families, will you love and serve and follow Josh as an elder and hold him accountable if he should go astray, and give him the privilege and the responsibility to call you back to the path if you should go astray? Would that be what you would do?
Yes.
So church, I would ask you, will you pray for Josh and his bride and his family? Will you encourage them and serve alongside them and hold them to account, and then allow them to hold you into account in love? Is that your desire? Say amen. 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 That's all of us. So we're just about done. But in true Jimmy Vaughn fashion, I have one more thing. Because you remember Peter preached a long time. The rewards of faithfulness are love, leadership, and legacy. You like that? Faithfulness is something that, like I said earlier, there's no way to produce it in any other form or fashion. Consistent longevity is a powerful thing. And we also want to celebrate today not only our new deacons, not only our new elder, but we want to celebrate another family in our church, Jeffrey. Now, Jeff and Melinda were founding members of our fellowship, and their kids are probably too young to remember it. So they are founding members of our fellowship back in 1993. Jeff was set apart and for ministry, ordained to the elder role in 1997. He was much younger then. And I will say this, There were some significant challenges in the early days of our church. But you know what? The Lord saw us through. And there's two things I'm going to say, and you can't stop me because I have the mic. The first one is this. There was a time in the history of our church where there was a business meeting, and there were three choices to be made. One was to just close it up. The second was that the fellowship would go under mission status for another church. Now, that's not a bad thing, but the church as it was would basically cease to exist. It's a replant. I've been a part of one of those, and it was beautiful. That church still survives and thrives today. And the third one was stick and stay. We had a small cluster of believers. And Jeff, if I'm getting the story correct, you were the sole leader. You were the guy. Mr. Phillips stood and he said that in his heart he believed that God was not finished with our fellowship. And under that guidance, the church carried on. And here we are. The second story is this, and I mean this. If it were not for Jeff, it's very probable I would not be your pastor because of my insecurities and knowing that I had a teammate like him gave me enough to go, we'll try together. You know, we're going to try together. And so to say that Jeff has had a fingerprint on our fellowship is the grossest understatement. Jeff, on Wednesday, celebrated serving in the role of an elder 25 years. And so today, we want to honor him in that because you don't get that often. That doesn't happen every day. So we have a couple of things. Jeff, if you'll come on up. Melinda, if you'll come on up close to the front, we'll want to get some pictures. Well, I will say this. Yeah, we need to give him a mic. I will say this. So we had our new deacons. We needed to do this. We had Josh. We needed to do this. But Jeff, we put it on this Sunday so we could hide you underneath it.
You did it well.
So
now I know why Morgan's here.
And
I mean, she would come visit her dad every once in a while, which would be awesome. Yeah. But you know, it's like, oh, cool.
And so we, you know, I mean, what do you do? So we have a couple of gifts that we'd like to give you out of appreciation on behalf of your church. Go ahead, Joshua.
So this one, everybody will say it, but it's a plaque, and it says, Jeff Phillips, Elder, in recognition of your quarter century of faithful servant leadership to the Lord, 25 years.
We did not put an end date because
At first, we had the years 97 to 2022, but then it looked like he was retiring or dying.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We just put 25 years.
So, yeah, he's just really getting started. You have anything you want to say about that?
I don't know that I can, but thank you. I love my family, but after that, I just love this church. So thank you.
All right. You can hand that back to... No, not the mic. So, you know, we talked about that a leader is a leader here, but also a leader out there. We serve here, but that's our mission field. It starts right at the threshold of this building. And we're called to go and to touch and to lead and to influence. And it's a wonderful privilege to get to do that. And Jeff has had opportunities to do that. And we want to celebrate that today. So we have an artist in our fellowship, and she was contracted to create a one-of-a-kind gift for Jeff. And so, Jeff, we hope that this will be displayed and this will bring you joy for the balance of your life. We'll let him take it in, and then we'll...
It's amazing.
And I was told to tell you she put a KFC bucket in that window right there. Some of you guys don't know what the KFC bucket is, but...
We may pass it.
I think we still have it.
We still have it. Thank you so much. Oh, my goodness.
And so what...
There's a lot of words on here that I'll have to take in, but...
So what Sarah has created, and this is all hand-drawn, is... It's a stained glass, and each of the little sections, there's ministries that he served in. Let me look here. the Rafa Clinic, Boys and Girls Club, Drug Free Greenville, Awana, For the City. And then there's flags for where you served overseas, which we've done all those together, haven't we? And he'll have it next door at the reception. And you can get a closer look. But if art ever imitated a man, this is it. And I hope that you enjoy that for years and years. And it's just a way to say thanks. And we love you. So, Melinda, we're going to do what you love to do. Let's get a picture. All right. Thank you. Let's give him one more hand. Awesome. That's great. All right. Thank you, especially family and friends that came in to be a part. Thank you for being here. We love your friend or your family member to pieces. So let's pray. Father, again, we give you thanks for the little ALF. Lord, we thank you for the ups, the downs, and the all-arounds. Lord, we thank you that even the gates of hell cannot prevail. Lord, I thank you for the leaders that this church has enjoyed over the years. Lord, who laid planks into the platform that we stand on today. And Father, we pray that you would bless them. And Father, we thank you for the leaders that have stepped up today. We ask that you'd bless them. And Lord, help them continue to build the platform that if you tarry your return, the church will stand on in the days, the weeks, the years, and the decades ahead. Father, I thank you for the privilege of being called pastor. And I thank you for the privilege to serve alongside these wonderful men and women. And Lord, we ask that you would bless your church. Lord, that we in return might be a blessing. Lord, help us to know you and to make you known in all things. We'll give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.